In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O Lord Jesus Christ, open thou the eyes of my heart, that I may hear thy word, and understand, and do thy will, for I am a sojourner upon the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me, but open mine eyes, that I may perceive the wonders of thy law. Speak unto me the hidden and secret things of thy wisdom. On thee do I set my hope, O my God, that thou shalt enlighten my mind and understanding with the light of thy knowledge, not only to cherish those things which are written, but to do them, that in reading the lives and sayings of the saints I may not sin, but that such may serve for my restoration, enlightenment, and sanctification, for the salvation of my soul, and the inheritance of life everlasting. For thou art the enlightenment of those who lie in darkness, and from thee cometh every good deed and every gift. Amen. Today is Wednesday, August the 14th, 2024. For our scripture readings today, we have 1 Corinthians and Matthew, sections from those two books. And for our reading from the Lives of the Saints, we have the Four Feasts of the Dormition of the Mother of God, the prophet Micah, the translation of the relics of the Venerable Theodosius of the Kiev Far Caves. I think that'll do it. So we begin with 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12 through 22. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men. Judge for yourselves what I say. The cup of blessing, which we bless, is not the communion of the blood. Is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, though many, are one bread and one body, for we all partake of that one bread. Observe Israel after the flesh. Are not those who eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What am I saying then? That an idol is anything, or what is offered to the idols is anything? Rather, that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons, and not to God. And I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of the demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and the table of demons. Or do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? On to Matthew chapter 16, verses 20 through 24. Then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. From that time Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem, and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, Far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. Then Jesus said to his disciples, If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. On to the Lives of the Saints. Our first one, the Four Feast of the Dormition of the Mother of God. The troparion of the Four Feast invites us to gather on this day in gladness, for the Theotokos is about to depart from earth to heaven. That's it. Very short. I'm sure tomorrow will be much longer. We also have Prophet Micah. The Prophet Micah, the sixth of the 12 minor prophets, was descended from the tribe of Judah, and was a native of the city of Moresheth, to the south of Jerusalem. His prophetic service began around the year 778 before Christ, and continued for almost 50 years under the kings of Judah, Jotham, Ahaz, and righteous Hezekiah. 721 through 691 BC, August 28th. He was a contemporary of the prophet Isaiah. His denunciations and predictions were in regard to the separate kingdoms of Judah and Israel. He foresaw the misfortunes threatening the kingdom of Israel before its destruction, and the sufferings of Judah during the incursions under the Assyrian emperor Sennacherib. To him belongs a prophecy about the birth of the Savior of the world. "And thou, Bethlehem, house of Ephrathah, art too few in number to be reckoned with the thousands of Judah. Yet out of thee shall come forth to me one who is to be ruler in Israel, and his goings forth were from the beginning, even from eternity." That's Micah chapter 5, verse 2. From the words of the prophet Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 26, verses 18 through 19, the Jews evidently were afraid to kill the prophet Micah. His relics were discovered in the 4th century after the birth of Christ at Bara Fasatia, through a revelation to the bishop of Eleutheropolis, Zuinos. Interesting name. Very Greek. That's it for the prophet Micah. On to the translations of the relic, or the translation of the relics of Venerable Theodosius of the Kiev Far Caves. Saint Theodosius of the Caves was the father of monasticism in Russia. He was born at Vasilevo, not far from Kiev. From his youth, he felt an irresistible attraction for the ascetic life and led an ascetic lifestyle while still in his paternal or parental home. He disdained childish games and attractions and constantly went to church. He asked his parents to let him study the holy books, and through his evident abilities and rare zeal, he quickly learned to read the books, so that everyone was amazed at his intellect. When he was 14, he lost his father and remained under the supervision of his mother, a strict and domineering woman who loved her son very much. Many times she chastised her son for his yearning for asceticism, but he remained firmly committed to his path. At the age of 24, he secretly left his parental home, and Saint Anthony at the Kiev Caves Monastery blessed him to receive monastic tonsure with the name Theodosius. After 4 years, his mother found him and tearfully begged him to return home, but the saint persuaded her to remain in Kiev and to become a nun in the monastery of Saint Nicholas at the Oskold Cemetery. Saint Theodosius toiled at the monastery more than others, and he often took upon himself some of the work of the other brethren. He carried water, chopped wood, ground up the grain, and carried the flour to each monk. On cold nights, he uncovered his body and let it be food for gnats and mosquitoes. His blood flowed, but the saint occupied himself with handicrafts and sang psalms. In church, he appeared before others, and standing in one place, he did not leave until the end of services. He listened to the readings with particular attention. In 1054, Saint Theodosius was ordained a hero monk, and in 1057, he was chosen igumen. The fame of his deeds attracted a number of monks to the monastery, at which he built a new church and cells, and he introduced the cenobitic rule of the Studian Monastery, a copy of which he commissioned at Constantinople. As igumen, Saint Theodosius continued his arduous duties at the monastery. He usually ate only dry bread and cooked greens without oil. He spent his nights in prayer without sleep, and the brethren often took notice of this, although the chosen one of God tried to conceal his efforts from others. No one saw when Saint Theodosius dozed lightly, and usually he rested while sitting. During Great Lent, the saint withdrew into a cave near the monastery, where he struggled unseen by anyone. His attire was a coarse hair shirt worn next to his body. He looked so much like a beggar that it was impossible to recognize in this old man the renowned igumen deeply respected by all who knew him. Once Saint Theodosius was returning from Great Prince Izyaslav, the coachman, not recognizing him, said gruffly, "You, monk, are always on holiday, but I am constantly at work. Take my place and let me ride in the carriage." The holy elder meekly complied and drove the servant. Seeing how nobles along the way bowed to the monk driving the horses, the servant took fright, but the holy ascetic calmed him and gave him a meal at the monastery. Trusting in God's help, the saint did not keep a large supply of food at the monastery, and therefore the brethren were in want of their daily bread. Through his prayers, however, unknown benefactors appeared at the monastery and furnished the necessities for the brethren. The great princes, especially Izyaslav, loved to listen to the spiritual discourses of Saint Theodosius. The saint was not afraid to denounce the mighty of this world. Those unjustly condemned always found a defender in him, and judges would review matters at the request of the Igumen. He was particularly concerned for the destitute. He built a special courtyard for them at the monastery, where anyone in need could receive food and drink. Sensing the approach of death, Saint Theodosius peacefully fell asleep in the Lord in the year 1074. He was buried in a cave which he dug, where he secluded himself during fasting periods. The relics of the ascetic were found incorrupt in the year 1091. Saint Theodosius was numbered among the saints in 1108. Of the written works of Saint Theodosius, 6 discourses, 2 letters to great prince Izyaslav, and a prayer for all Christians have survived to our time. The life of Saint Theodosius was written by Saint Nestor the Chronicler, October 27th, a disciple of the great Abba, only 30 years after his repose, and it was always one of the favorite readings of the Russian nation. The life of Saint Theodosius is found under September 28. And I think we will wrap it up there today. Thank you for tuning in once again, and all glory to God. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, both now and forever, and unto the ages of ages. Amen.